podcasting from Lake Orion, Michigan, where living is a vacation. It's the Rock Your Wellness Podcast, a bi-monthly podcast about how to rock a healthy approach to living that will supercharge your fitness and energy levels without having to turn your life upside down. And now, here's your host, fitness professional, health coach, and nutrition guru, Chuck Jones.
Hey folks, and welcome back to yet another edition of the Rock Your Wellness Podcast. As always, I am your host, Chuck Jones, and got kind of a cold, rainy morning going on here in Michigan. In fact, I am going to go out on a limb and suggest that fall is finally here, which honestly, I'm good with. Kind of like autumn, and as much as I love summer, don't really like it when it goes straight from summer to winter. So just in case any of you were wondering what my views were on the seasons. So anyway, on this cold, rainy morning, just kind of sitting here, enjoying a delicious cup of Great Lakes coffee from my good friend Brad Golding. Man, Brad, this stuff is delicious, man. I went with the Mackinac Island blend this morning, and it's kind of a nice light roast. So definitely getting a little extra, you know, boost of caffeine here. And let's see, what do we got here? Some light notes of plum and citrus. Sorry about that. Ooh, definitely pretty good there. In fact, it is so good that I have decided to go without my normal dollop of fat. I usually do a little pastured cream or sometimes some unsalted grass-fed butter, coconut oil, you know, whatever, you know, along those lines. And I went with the French press this morning. So, you know, you get all those good oils kind of in the mix and, you know, just get that kind of enhanced overall flavor and aroma. So, okay. Ooh, sorry about that. I was having a little bit of a moment there. Okay, so hey, let's get on with the show, right? You know, apparently more than a few of you have been dialing in to listen, because I've actually been getting quite a few questions via email over the past several weeks. So, thought we'd take a break from the traditional format that the show's been in so far, and instead we'll cover... instead of doing a single topic, we'll answer some listener questions. So here we go. Question number one. This is from Jeff. It says, how often should I work out? If you're going from like the textbook answer here, ACSM, which is the American College of Sports Medicine, they recommend 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week, sort of as a way to, you know, maintain weight or, you know, prevent weight gain, that kind of a thing. Honestly, this one's kind of that's the textbook answer, right? I would say as often as you are up to it. And I know that's a pretty subjective answer, but what I mean by that is, you know, if you're working out with weights, don't work out if you're still sore. You know, that's your body's way of telling you you're not ready to work out again. And honestly, if you're just starting a workout program, you're probably gonna be sore a lot, which means you're probably gonna have to back off a lot. You don't wanna overtrain here. So again, listen to your body. If you're feeling sore, especially, so if you notice some other subjective things, like you're not sleeping well, or, you know, you're feeling more tired during the day, those could be some early signs of overtraining, and you definitely don't want to overdo it. So, I mean, a general rule of thumb, 3, maybe 4 times a week is good to train with weights, kind of like that every other day routine. And if you want to hit some, cardio types of activity in between, go for it. Again, just as long as you're feeling good. Remember, you know, working out is a stress, right? It's a hormetic stress, meaning that it can actually, you know, if you're otherwise healthy, then after the stress of that workout is done, your body then goes to work, you know, sort of healing and repairing and getting that slightly better than you were prior to that workout and adapting to that workout. And that's where, you know, you can experience the muscle gain or the fat loss and that kind of a thing. But, you know, if you're not sleeping well, or if you're super stressed at work, or if you're just frankly working out too much and you're not recovering from those workouts, or, you know, poor diet and you're not recovering from those workouts, then it's too much. So, long-winded way of saying, hey, 3, maybe 4 times a week, more if you're feeling, you know, really good and you're not experiencing any of those negative side effects. So hopefully that answers that question. Number 2, this is from Leslie, and she wants to know what is better for fat loss, lifting weights or cardio. Okay, so here, this is, all right, well, here's the short answer, lifting weights, period, okay? But let me explain or sort of back up my stance for that. So if you're lifting weights, you know, sort of moderate to intense for an hour, you're going to burn roughly 300 calories for that hour-long session, okay? Now, since you're essentially breaking down muscle or damaging muscle while you're training, you know, again, it's a stress, right? It's that hormetic stress that your body then, you know, after that workout goes to repair and rebuild that tissue to slightly better than it was before. All that extra metabolic work that happens between the workout continues to burn calories. Okay. So let's use the example of if you're working out Monday, Wednesday, Friday for an hour, again, that's sort of moderate to intense. You're only training 3 times a week, right? So you're only actually burning about 900 calories just for your workouts. But the extra metabolic work that your body is doing in between workouts to repair and recover, at the end of that week, even though you only trained 3 times, you're going to have burned about 3,600 calories, okay? So if you are on a sort of a maintenance diet where you're eating good whole foods, you know, nutrient dense foods, and you're, you know, eating right at your sort of that basal metabolic rate we were talking about a couple episodes ago, then a pound of body fat is about 3,500 calories. So you'll have just burned 1 pound of body fat off, right? And you only trained 3 times. Contrast that to if you're doing cardio moderate to intensely for 1 hour. And frankly, that's a lot of cardio, right? A solid hour of like running on the treadmill, man, to me, that is mind numbing. I don't know about you. If you like that, good on you. But 1 hour, you're going to burn about 500 calories. Okay. So more obviously than if you're training with weights. But here's the thing. If you're just doing traditional sort of long, slow cardio, or, you know, just moderate to intense cardio, not sprinting, in other words, just sort of running or jogging, as soon as you stop doing that workout, your metabolism returns to baseline until your next exercise session. So you've got no metabolic boost from that workout, basically. So at the end of the week, if you actually trained 5 days a week, you would have burned only 2,500 calories, right? 5 times 500, 2,500 calories. Remember, a pound of body fat is 3,500 calories. So you're still 1,000 calories short of burning a pound of body fat off. And that's, again, if you're eating a maintenance diet. So I think if you look at it like that, it's pretty easy to see that weight training is going to be a better bang for your buck. Now, again, if you want to do some cardio in between those weight training sessions, hey, that's awesome. If you love doing that, that's great. Sure, you're going to burn some extra calories. That's great. But remember, you're actually really getting the best bang for your buck by just doing that weight training and getting that metabolic boost from the weight training. Now, just a little side note, sprinting is kind of similar to weight training as far as you get this, you know, this additional metabolic boost following a sprint workout. But we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth down the road. I do feel like I should mention at this point, just again, since we talk about, you know, weights are best, I feel like a lot of women, again, just since Leslie asked this question, I feel like a lot of women are concerned about getting bulky. You know, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to get too bulky. Here's the thing. Body type and levels of testosterone really determine how a person is going to respond to weights, okay? 99% of women are going to respond to weights in a feminine way. So I mean, basically, you know, they're going to tone up, they're going to harden up, they're not going to bulk up. Okay, so unless you're taking steroids, you're really only going to reach what we would term your genetic potential by training with weights. And for most women, that means sort of an athletic looking body that, you know, I think frankly is what most women that are hitting the gym are really looking for. Okay, so you're gonna look feminine and athletic, not manly. Okay, now hey, for the 1% that, you know, maybe just have more testosterone or different type of, you know, body type, you know, maybe a little more of a square kind of a frame, if you honestly believe, or if you have friends telling you that you're looking a little, you know, quote unquote manly, like you're looking a little bulky from training with weights, try adding in a little bit more cardio. Try changing up your weight training program, something like where you're doing higher reps per set with a little bit lower weight. And that honestly should completely take care of any potential issues there. Should you be part of that, you know, small percentage that, you know, it's even an issue at all. So hopefully, Leslie, that answers your question. Where we go? Number three, this is anonymous. Okay, so I'm a little embarrassed here, I guess, but all good. Nothing to be embarrassed about. This is actually a great question. I have no time to exercise. What can I do? Let me first qualify. Okay, so I have, you know, sort of a textbook answer for this question, some realistic things, but let me just say first, anyone that says they don't have time to do something, whether it's exercise or anything else for that matter, all that really means to me, it's funny, I was just talking about this with my brother the other day, all that really means to me is that this particular activity is not important enough for me to make it priority to fit into my day. And listen, that could mean that, frankly, your day is filled up with other things that have to be made priority, so you don't have time to exercise. And if that's the case, that's legit, right? But I just want to throw that out there because I think we all, generally speaking, find time to do and complete the things that we feel we really need to do and complete within the course of a day. So just throwing that out there, something to consider. But let's go back to a little bit more, you know, I guess meat and potatoes as far as what we can actually do if this is a legitimate circumstance. First off is just work on being active through the day, right? So if you have a desk job, I get it. You know, it's not you're commuting to work, you're sitting down all day and you're commuting home, and there, you know, perceptibly is not a lot of room for working activity into the day. That being said, just do things like, you know, when you get to work or you get to the store, or, you know, whatever it is, you get to lunch, park at the back of the lot, you know, get a few more steps in that way. Take the stairs when you get to wherever you're going versus the elevator. I don't care if you're on the 20th floor. Take the stairs, man. I mean, that's a fantastic workout then right there. Or take the elevator up to, you know, 5 and then take the stairs from there, what have you. You know, break it up however you need to do it. Set a reminder on your phone. So every 20 minutes, if you're sitting at your desk, get up for a few minutes, walk around. You know, hey, if you're able, if you're not in, you know, work clothes or something, drop down, do a set of push-ups, drop down, do a set of sit-ups, you know, jumping jacks, touch your toes, that kind of a thing. Do a little flexibility, mobility work. But just kind of make a point to walk around every now and again. If you're home, play with your kids. Walk the dog, play with the dog, right? Run around, pick them up, pick them up over your head, you know, sort of work in some some resistance or some weight type movements, playing with your kids or your dog, or, you know, if you're moving boxes around your house, you know, pick some up, do some squats. I know it sounds goofy, but have fun with it. Get a little bit more activity that way. If it's, you know, this kind of time of year here in the Midwest where we got a lot of leaves falling now, get out, do some yard work. Rake the leaves, blow the leaves, bag the leaves, mow the lawn, pick up stuff, put it down, you know, just work on kind of being active. And again, so that way through the course of your day, even if you didn't have time to hit the gym, you actually still maybe got a little bit of resistance work in. You stayed kind of overall a little bit more active, kept that blood flow going. And maybe even in some instances, like if you took the stairs for a while, you even got the heart thumping, which isn't a bad thing either, right? So never really an excuse, even if you don't have time to hit the gym, to not be active and get a little, you know, quote unquote, exercise in during the course of the day. So, number four, Doug asks, how often do I need to change up my workout routine for best results? So, technically speaking, there's actually really no need to ever change your workout routine. I know, you know, there's a lot of terms thrown out there, things like muscle confusion or, you know, keep the body guessing, keep the body from adapting. At the end of the day, there's not really, unless you are an elite athlete training at an elite level, there's not really any real truth or benefit to doing that. So as long as you're really just kind of continuing to challenge yourself, and you can do that either by sort of increasing the time under tension. So when you're training with weights, you know, that number of reps you're doing, or the slower you're training. And I'm not talking about going crazy slow, but just not rushing through, right? Or obviously adding more weight. Or, you know, again, if we're talking about being outside, you know, maybe running for a little bit longer duration, or throwing in a sprint, that kind of a thing. But basically speaking, as long as you're enjoying your workout, so it's one that you'll continue to do, that at the end of the day is the most important thing to do, right? Because if you're doing the most cutting edge workout and switching it up every now and again and this and that, if you're not doing it with consistency, it's not going to work. I don't care how much you switch it up, right? So the key is consistency. So don't stress about, you know, finding that cutting edge thing or changing up the workout or this or that. As long as you're working out and you're challenging yourself and you're doing it with consistency, you're good, all right, for all intents and purposes. So keep doing that. Okay, but what if I'm sick? So this Phil asks, should I work out if I'm sick? The answer here, I would say, is it depends. So, I mean, if we're just talking, like, if you have a cold or, you know, you're just kind of feeling a little run down, it's that time of year, you know, that kind of a thing. A moderate workout, so, you know, we're not pushing ourselves, you know, going crazy here, you know, with high intensity, can actually boost immune function. Obviously, you're going to accelerate a little blood flow and that kind of a thing. It's just not a good time, though, to push yourself. So again, we kind of mentioned early on in the podcast, you know, working out is this hormetic stress, right? Which means it is a stress. Well, being sick is a stress on your body and your immune system too. So if we're adding too much stress at one time, frankly, it's too much for the body to overcome and adapt to. And, you know, it's just, you're either going to have a crappy workout or you're just going to get more sick. or, you know, if you're on the verge of getting sick, you are going to straight up get sick. So focus on things like just, again, being generally active, walking, moving, stretching. All these things are good to sort of promote circulation, boost immunity. Just walking, just going out for like a brisk walk. And I'm not talking about, you know, race walking, you know, getting your heart rate way up. Just going out for a walk is not only great for sort of an anti-stress kind of a thing, but it's actually anabolic. It's promoting growth and tissue growth of lean muscle tissue, and it's healthy. It's boosting immunity and circulation. So it may be the best thing to do if you're feeling kind of, you know, kind of under the weather. So again, save the hard workouts for when you're healthy. But I will say, don't use being sick as a total excuse for just laying on the couch, right? Again, there might be a time for that. You need sleep, obviously. But if you, you know, are not well, being still moderately active up and about is going to be far, far better than just laying around all day long, okay? So something to keep in mind, especially this time of year. It seems like, you know, we deal with more and more sick issues. And a lot of it is, it's just we push ourselves too much. There's stress from the holidays. There's too much, you know, kind of garbage food eaten at, you know, office parties and family parties and that kind of a thing. So general, just being active, stretching, moving, walking, all good things this time of year. Number six, Paul asks, what is the best way to burn belly fat? So, all right. So first off, let me just say, you can't spot burn fat. Okay. You can spot build muscle. You can't spot burn fat. So just, you know, dropping down and hitting the ab lounge or the ab roller or whatever other gimmicky, you know, fitness device is on QVC, not the way to do it. Generally speaking, trouble spots for men are sort of, let's say, it's our, like, our love handles and our belly, right? And for women, it's hips, thighs, and belly. So to get to those trouble spots and burn that fat, yeah, unfortunately, it's got to pretty much be burned off, and you got to be lean everywhere else before your body gets there. So that's the, I'll say that's the catch. Now, that being said, the best way to burn fat overall, so we can ultimately get to that belly fat, no question, weights are great, but interval training, number one best method, period, for just scorching fat overall. So intervals, you might have heard of something like high intensity interval training, or sort of this HIIT training. Fantastic. Okay, so kind of the, I'd say probably the most well-known protocol for this is, it's called the Wingate protocol, which is kind of like this all-out effort. So we're talking like sprinting, or if you're on a bike, you know, sprinting, you know, pedaling, that kind of a thing. So it's sort of all out for 30 seconds, followed by a four-minute rest where you're literally just kind of walking or just, you know, kind of pedaling at a leisurely pace, and doing that 4 to 6 times. That's it. Like, that's all you do. It's a really short workout session, but it's intense during those 30-second intervals, right? And you can really do those, honestly, every other day, if not really every day, and still recover because it's such a short duration. You're not going to have to worry about overtraining if you're doing that. That's not the only way to do it. I mean, there's lots of other sort of, I'll say, protocols that are in place. Like, there's an 8-second all-out followed by a 12-second rest. There's a 12-second all-out followed by a 24-second rest. So, you know, much shorter in terms of rest, but obviously much shorter in terms of that all-out too, because you really do want to go all-out. You really want to push, you know, and go sort of that 110% for that sprinting part. So this is not, it's short, but it's not easy, right? But what happens is you get, so catecholamine, which is basically, it's like adrenaline and noradrenaline. You get a lot of these catecholamines that are released when you do this super high intensity, you know, that portion of the interval, right? And so what happens is your body releases a lot of free fatty acids. And then basically, because, again, of these catecholamines being around, I don't want to go too far down the nerd rabbit hole here. Sorry, I feel myself already doing that. But basically, your body is going to be sort of predisposed to burn those newly released free fatty acids as fuel, not just during and immediately following the workout, but quite literally all day long. So this is an awesome thing to do first thing in the morning. If you can, you know, I mean, if that's something that you can work into your schedule, don't feel like you have to, but it's sprinting or intervals are awesome to do first thing, because it does kind of set the rest of your day up for this sort of increased fat burning because of those catecholamines, that adrenaline and that noradrenaline that's released. And I would say too, also, that there's, you know, those are those kind of protocols that I mentioned. Those are the standard. Those are the most widely researched. But generally speaking, any kind of interval, I mean, even if you maybe you do a little bit longer, but it's like walking up at a steep incline for 30 seconds and then walking at a regular incline, like if you're on a treadmill, and doing that for 15 to 20 minutes. So obviously that walking on the steep incline is not going to be nearly as intense as if you're going for a sprint for 30 seconds or 8 seconds or 12 seconds or what have you. But it's still going to be really effective because you're bringing your heart rate up and then back down, up and then back down. And ultimately, that's what's going to help keep you in sort of that fat-burning zone, or sort of more predisposed to burn those fatty acids that are being released. So not as many will be released in that instance, but again, it's still a great, great way, much more efficient than just hopping on a treadmill at a steady pace for 20 minutes, okay? So, and there is a little trick. I know I said you can't spot burn fat, and, you know, truth be told, you really can't. That being said, if you're specifically trying to burn body fat, or I'm sorry, belly fat rather, which is what Paul originally asked at the beginning of the question, here's a little trick, okay? So before you start that high intensity interval session, warm up your abs by doing 3 to 4 sets of ab crunches and kind of try to do them to failure or till you get like that burn happening, right? Because what's going to happen is you're literally going to be increasing blood flow all around that area because you're working the muscle directly underneath the fat that you want to burn. And then when you're doing that interval training, or honestly, even if you're doing some steady state cardio at this point, not as much as the interval training, because you warmed up that area and got a little blood flow going there first, catecholamines are going to go there. It's going to help with a little, I'll say, extra fat burning at that location. Again, it's not like you're going to shred abs doing that, but it definitely, hey, it's more bang for your buck. And I think, we'd all argue that that would probably not be a bad thing, right? So little trick to try there. Well, thank you so much, folks. Really, really appreciate the questions. It's cool to know that apparently listenership is growing. And hey, 6 listeners can't be wrong, right? So just a reminder to anyone else who may be listening in, please don't hesitate to email me at chuck@rockyourwellnessnow.com. If you have any questions of your own, I would love to hear them. And what I'll do is I'll either feature them on the show if we get enough sort of all at the same time, like I did here, or in a later episode, we'll do another sort of Q&A, listener Q&A answers like we did here, or I'll just get back to you right away, just via email. So, and also, if you do like the show, please, I know, guys, I keep beating you up about this. Don't forget to log on to iTunes and leave a positive review. It really, really does make a difference. I just learned how you can do that right from your phone. I didn't think that you could, but my friend Paul showed me that, which is pretty cool. So you just open up the podcast app, and then you use the search feature, which is like that little magnifying glass, and type in Rock Your Wellness through that search feature. Click on the show from the search results, and then just scroll down until you see ratings and reviews. And then you can click tap to rate, and boom, add your review. Totally that simple. And I seriously, seriously appreciate all of you that have already done this. We're actually gaining in popularity because of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate the great reviews there. Speaking of your phone, how often do you find yourself checking your phone through the day? Do you sort of check it subconsciously, even if you're right in the middle of a conversation with someone? Would you be surprised if someone said that you may be addicted to your phone? So we're going to talk about how to rock your wellness from a little different angle next time and talk about the science of addiction and how our phones and social media just might be actually making us depressed. And fortunately, how to find a quick recipe for happiness. So, until then, God bless and keep on rocking.